Good morning.
I hope everyone came with joy, even after losing an hour of sleep. Not fun, but at least you guys all made it here. It's very nice. And if any of us are kind of still a little bit grumpy, maybe myself included, let's do some worship and that will help us get into a better mood. Father, as we're here today and we're worshiping, Lord God, I pray that we can all just have that intimate relationship, Father, and we know that we're not walking alone no matter what we walk through, Father, that we're always going to have you with us and that you're the most important more than anyone else, more than our best friends, more than our spouses, more than our children. Father, you are always going to be there for us. We call to you for everything, Lord. We don't have to impress anyone, Lord God. We just have to say, Father, what do you want me to do? And as we do the works that you'll have us do, Father, we are going to be so changed. People are going to see your light shine. I thank you, Lord, for making us a new creation.
Come on my knees to lay down before you, bringing all that I am, longing only to know you, seeking your face, not only you embracing me just as I am. And I lift these songs to you and you alone. As I sing to you in my praises, make your home.
I have one desire to bring glory.
Father, Lord God, if we are new to this walk, Lord, I just pray that we truly only seek your approval, Lord God. We're truly only seeking your love, Father. Help us to truly only desire to be yours, Father. And if we're walking in this thing alone, or if we're walking in it with family or with our husbands or wives, Father, help us just to be content in everything, Father. Help us not go to search any further than the truth, Lord God. And as we read your word, and as we are asking you what we need to do, help us not have an agenda, Father. Help us not try to fit you into our box, Lord God. I pray, Father, that we genuinely have an open heart and we genuinely want to learn what you want to tell us, Lord. Not what we want to hear from ourselves, Lord, but what we want to hear from you. Father, I just pray right now for everyone, Lord God, that there is forgiveness in you, Lord. And it's not just forgiveness from our own sins, Lord God, but for us to forgive others too, Lord. I pray right now, Lord God, that for those, Lord God, we are so excited to accept your forgiveness, to say thank you, Lord. I know, I understand now that you do forgive me and you love me and you forget everything. From the east to the west, Lord. And Father, now I pray, Lord God, that you help us to move on and to forgive others too, Lord God. Because part of our healing process is to forgive others. When we forgive others, we don't condone sin. We say, I want freedom, so it doesn't hold me anymore. And by sometimes when we forgive others, that gives them freedom too. We don't want to stifle anyone from letting go of their past too.
Break every chain, 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 Lord, please break every chain, 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 break every chain.
And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass.
Set a fire down in my soul that I I can't control. I want more than you got. I want more than you got. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more.
Father, Lord God, I pray that that we do have that fire inside of us, Lord God, that makes us hungry, that makes us want to shout the name Jesus. That when we're out in public, Lord God, we are the same person outside of church as we are inside of church, Father. Sometimes that takes practice. Sometimes, you know, when I was in the world, I was so used to just being fake and phony. I was two totally different people, sometimes three. But Father, as we learn how to get rid of that old self, Lord God, you have such patience with us, Lord. But with that patience, you help us want to be more genuine and want to be more transparent and real, Lord God. Help us to be that way with our brothers and sisters, Father. If we're having a hard time, Father, help us to share that so others can share in that with us and encourage us. If we're having a wonderful time and we're doing really, really good this week, Father, help us to share that to encourage others too, Lord. We just want realness in this family, Father. Help us not be phony, Lord. Just keep preparing us, Lord God. We don't know what the rest of the day is going to hold. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, Father, but we do know that right now we are in your presence, Father, and we're asking you to teach us. We're asking you to prepare us, Father, for anything to come, Lord God, whether it be good things or bad things or just anything, Father. We ask for your strength, Father. We ask for faith, Lord God, and we are just flesh, Lord, but we ask for your spirit to just overcome this vessel, Father. Help us to walk completely by faith, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father, for loving us and for your patience. And we do pray, Lord, that as we are accepting that, Father, that we also show that to others too, Father. I know I struggle so much with patience, Father. But I pray, Lord God, that you just kill that flesh in me, Father. And just, Lord, just give me that extra patience. And we give you this day. Amen.
To be a sanctuary, rain, pure and holy.
Oh, I'm on. That's embarrassing. Yes, you do. All right, so what do I need? Okay, clicker, George, you're amazing. I don't care what Amy says about you. Well, good morning, everybody. You made it. Even though we lost an hour of sleep, you made it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're late, but you made it. Well, that's right. Better late than never is right. Well, glad that you're here, and we'll see what the Lord has for us today from his word. Okay, sorry, I'm just taking a minute in case you guys are wondering. For those of you who don't know, what I'm doing right at this exact second is I was kind of just praying, which I still am, and Lord, what do you want to do next? What's the flow of things? What do you want us to do next? And so that's what I'm just asking the Lord, so I do exactly what he wants to do. Lord, just give you this whole thing. Just order the whole teaching, the whole service. Lord God, I thank you for your heart and your word and your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would teach us, that you would give us open eyes and open ears and open minds, Lord, that you can wash us clean, Lord God, that we would no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Lord. And we know that your word will not return void, but accomplish the purpose that it set out to do. And so, Lord, from everything, from the announcements to the teaching and to that scripture you're bringing to my mind right now, Lord God, even when I say that or when I even look it up, all those things, Lord, you would just take care of everything from beginning to end. If you have something that you want to speak through somebody else today during the teaching, I pray that we would just have the freedom to do that, or a question, just like we did last week, Lord God, and what a blessing that was. And so whatever your will is, we want to be a part of it, Lord, and we want to just learn from you. So help us to sit at your feet humbly, Lord, and to listen to our Savior Jesus. So just speak through this vessel, through this donkey, Lord God, and speak your words, Lord God. And I ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, well, let's go through some of the announcements, and so I don't forget them. Yes, so we do have free bread loaves. You guys know that already, but in the back there, tons of bagels. Take some home with you after service, French bread, baguettes, all that kind of stuff. Take home bags in Jesus' name of whatever you want, and it's just a blessing in Jesus' name. We're here to feed your soul, but also to feed your bellies too. Also, tithes and offerings. We're not going to collect a tithe and offering during the middle of service. There's a little bird box in the back of the sanctuary that you are welcome to give at, and God loves a cheerful giver, so just put your tithes and offerings back in the back there, as we'd love to have them and use them for his purposes. So that's with tithes and offerings. Okay, also a couple other things. The Newsboys United are coming to Idlewild Baptist Church. That's Friday, March 23rd. At 7 p.m. Tickets start at $18. You can see the number there to call. I don't know who Zealand is, but if you're interested in that concert, please feel free. If that just made me uncool by not knowing who Zealand was, you guys can tell me later. Okay. There's also The Rock and the Rabbi that's coming to Clearwater. And you can check out more information about that at therockandtherabbi.com. It's kind of a play of Peter and Jesus. It's really a good play. And so that's March 30th, Friday at 7 p.m. And then also, we have a wonderful date. Stanley and Leslie are just baptized. They're getting married. So Leslie got baptized sometime in the last year. And when?
July 30th.
Wow, that was good. And then Stanley got baptized?
Rededicated on November 12th.
Right, November 12th, yes. And so they've decided they just really want to honor the Lord. And so they've been together a long time, and they just want to really do they really want to do what they're doing for the Lord. And part of that is getting right with the Lord and getting married. And so they've decided to do that after 13 years. So that is very exciting. that what God has done in their lives and what God just is talking to them and speaking to them and convicting them of some things. And so they want to do it right, and they want to honor the Lord because they want to minister to others. So that's such a beautiful thing, and so proud of them. And so on March 31st, I'll be here, 2018, here at the church at 3 p.m., you're invited, and there's going to be a beautiful marriage here, a beautiful wedding ceremony where we're putting Jesus first, and we're going to marry this couple in the eyes of the Lord. And so you are invited to that in Jesus' name, and it should be a super exciting time. And is there anything else you want to say, Miss Leslie? Okay, awesome. Good. Sounds good. So that's very exciting. Also, I was told to say this, so I want to make sure I don't forget. Okay, for those of you who don't know, this is Nick and Ashley and all the kids. Okay, they're up in Georgia. They asked you guys, for those of you who don't know them, they asked that you would please, please, please pray that they just want to come back down. They want to come back. They miss their family. They miss their church. They miss their... And so, but they said there's no way, they're trying to get a house, it's just impossible, blah, blah, blah. So we prayed, and they got a house. Yay! So they said, please tell them thank you for praying. And so Lord willing, I say Lord willing because you never know, Lord willing, it's happening and coming back down. And so they'll be back down hopefully this next month. So please continue to pray for them. And it's very exciting to have them back down. Okay, so we have an equipping ministry here because we want everybody to grow in the Lord. That's the main purpose why we're here. And we have sermons online. You guys are welcome to listen to those. Also, we have a loaner library. And I have a few books here. So if anybody wants to check these out, the loaner library is all the way in the back in the left. And Shirley Gurley, would you raise your little hand? Shirley Gurley is in charge of the loaner library. And so I've got three books here that I just happen to have. And the first one is a book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. So, Daryl, I believe you want to check this out, am I correct, of the Loaner Library? Is that yes?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. All right. Brother, can I know you're, hey, welcome for your, thanks for being here for the first time. Would you go back and deliver it to that guy in the glasses? We make good use of people. Thank you. There you go. If you would just sign that out on the Loaner Library, that'd be great. And if you, okay, yes. And if you want to keep it, if you love it that much, then you know what? Tell us, tell Shirley, and we'll just get another copy, and it'll be a gift in Jesus' name. Also, I need a guinea pig. I mean, I need someone. I don't know if anybody has heard of Nabil. Nabil Quraysh. Has anybody heard of him? Okay. Basically, he was a devout Muslim that encountered Jesus Christ and radically changed his life. And so I've heard of him. I've heard him speak. And it was awesome. This was on the New York Times bestseller. It's called Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus. And this is powerful. And so I don't know. Is Jim here today? We got multiple Jims now. Jim isn't here. Lord, let's continue to pray for Jim. He always sits here, so I have. Jim Persons also, he took us to lunch, our family, and last week. And he had, he had Ravi Zacharias speak at his church over in Asia. And I think he had Nabil as well. I was like, what? You had Ravi Zacharias? He's like, yeah, he's really great. I was like, oh, good. So he just reminded me, he said, this is an incredible book. Incredible book. So if anybody would like to start, be the guinea pig. Okay, you want to be the guinea pig? Okay, right there. You got to sign it out on the Loaner Library, though. Okay. Must do that. And then one more, if anybody wants this. This is a classic from Brother Lawrence. This is called The Practice. Mark Manley, is there something you would like to say?
Yeah, I want that book.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is called The Practice of the Presence of God. And this is just... basically about hearing the voice of God just in our normal daily activities in serving the Lord. And so, Mark Manley, I'm not going to make him run and give that to you.
I'm coming to get that.
Okay, that's good. Stanley.
Check it out, Mark.
Yeah, and check it out in the Loaner Library, if you would. Yes, okay. All right, now, we've been, let me get through the, okay, I got more, but wait, there's more. Okay, so Sunday mornings, if you would like to come pray with us, My wife came one time to prayer group, and now she's like, I got to get there early. She piles up all the kids. She's like, I just got to get there for prayer. So now she's coming Sunday mornings for prayer every Sunday and loves it. And so I just want to encourage you guys to come out for prayer Sunday mornings about 9 or 9:30.
We started 9. We really get serious about 9:30.
Okay, good. So if you want to come out and pray, Nate Weaver will lead us. Hi, Nate. You're not going to sneak in here. We love you. And then also Wednesday, we have a youth group here with Josh Smith and Amanda Panda. And so I want to invite you out for that. Thursday will be barbecue and Bible study. I think we're going through the book of Mark.
We'll be in the passage where Jesus heals the leper and asking the question, what do we have in common with the leper?
Okay, awesome.
Could I take 1 minute?
You can take as many minutes as you want, brother. You want the mic?
I wanted to take
microphone so we can all hear you. Thank you, Jojo. We call him the Flash. Look at that.
Mr. Microphone. Now, I just want, 2 weeks ago we did the barbecue up at Gamble, and I wanted to thank all the people here. We had people from about 7 different churches. There was about 20 people in all, and I hope I don't forget anybody. Chris was trying to keep drinks cold without ice. Ray was one of our cashiers. Mike was on the smoker. Mark was on the grill. Stan and Leslie helped us bring the smoker out and back. Nathan was involved in that.
Betty and Daryl. I remember seeing them out there.
Betty and Daryl were out there doing everything. It was a great time. We got to serve a lot of people, and we raised $2,286 for salt.
Awesome. Praise the Lord.
So just thanks everybody who participated.
Awesome. Thanks, Gary. You can say that anytime. So anyway, Thursday night barbecue and Bible study, it's a great family time. So if you've got a family or if you don't, just come out. Also, Shepherd's Ark Christian School, if you guys could pray for us, and I'll be a little selfish here. I'll say us. When I say us, I secretly also mean me. Okay, so it's what we're doing. We're taking, there's about 15 of us. Okay, I noticed some of us aren't. You're going, that's right. Nicholas is going, so really the rest doesn't matter. So we've got about 15 of us that are going for a week to the Ark Encounter. And so, so we're going up there to the Ark Encounter and to the Creation Museum. So we're going to be gone. That is Kentucky. That's the big one, baby. So, we don't play here. So we're going up there. So if you would just pray for us. I think Wendy Jo and Mrs. Hetherington, I don't know if she's here today.
She's at home packing.
That's something I got to do sometime very soon as we're leaving in the morning. 8 o'clock, something like that, or 9. Miss Heatherdeen, Wendy Jo, me, and I think there's one other adult. Mrs. Granaga is leading. Just if you would pray for us as we're driving up there and ministering to the kids. We're going to be going through that book, Not a Fan, as well. They don't know that yet, but we're going to be doing that as well. And so if you would just please pray that God would speak something to us and that God would give me unlimited patience, supernatural. I'm not saying I want to go through anything to get the patience. If you would just gift it to me. I want to teach how to pray. Yeah, George. Yes, thank you so much. You're amazing. Hey, if anybody would like to know any more information, we did a DVD, just the end of the year program. It's nothing fancy schmancy, but we had a few extra ones. And so if anybody would like any more information on Shepherd's Heart Christian School or would like to see the end of year program, we have a couple extra CDs. We gave a bunch away already, but we have a few left. Is there anybody else who would like one free in Jesus' name? Yours? Yes, good. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, free in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Okay, back in the back. Punky, would you go to the window, the lovely Laura? Thank you so much. Anybody else? Going once? Twice? Okay, if you change your mind. Erica? Okay. That was an itch? Okay, the arm. I saw the arm up. All right. Okay. All right. And so we're doing that Ark Encounter Creation Museum, so please be in prayer this whole week. I need you guys all to be on your best behavior next Sunday. And I need you to please welcome some friends of ours, Robbie and Jonathan. Now, back in the day when Robbie was just a teenager, she used to attend our little Bible study we had, Lisa and I, when we first got married. And they've been missionaries to China. They've lived over in China for many years, and they've gone back many times. They've ministered there for many years. Right now, they just got back from China not too long ago, but they also are doing InterVarsity work and Bible studies at Ringling School of Arts at New College. So New College is like, that's like the Brainy School. That was her alma mater. That's where she graduated. He's a Ringling guy. And so, and then also at one other campus, USF, they're leading Bible studies there. And so they're going to be coming and ministering this Sunday. They're going to do worship in the Word. And so if you guys would just make them feel welcome and help them out in any way. Okay. Okay. So if you guys would do that, that'd be great. Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Back to the Ark
encounter. Yes.
What's the age group? You know,
okay.
Do you need chaperones?
Okay. Actually, thank you so much. Actually, yeah, right now we've got kind of the trip locked in because we're leaving in the morning. So yes. this trip is kind of like signed, sealed, and delivered. But we still definitely need prayer. But I would encourage everyone to go there, and it's open to anyone. This is actually, that ark was actually a life-size to scale to show that God's word is true, and those animals, each of its kind, could have fit in the ark. So it's a really cool experience, and so yes, definitely be in prayer. But I'd encourage you to go anyway. All right, but anyway, that's next Sunday. They're going to be sharing worship, so please make them feel welcome. Leslie.
Before you guys leave, make sure you pack warm, because Richard told us it was snowing in Kentucky. Make sure it's snowing in Kentucky. It's cold up there.
Super. Thank you. No one blessed you with the gift of encouragement, I see. Oh, you guys are brutal. I hope you go on a missions trip soon. I'll pray for you. All right, so normally we go through the word verse by verse. We've gone through the book of Colossians. We've been about in there about and Philemon for the last about 5 months. And so we just finished Colossians. We just finished the book of Philemon. And we've been talking about hearing the Lord speak. And so if you can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, just trying to do a little topical before I come back. And then when we come back, we'll start a new book. What book? I don't know yet. So we are in 1 Samuel. If you don't have a Bible study, raise your hand. Elijah, can you grab a few? Jason, can you grab a few Bibles, son? Yeah, just raise your hand. Elijah or Jason will bring one to you. Joyful Jason. Eager Elijah.
What happened to JJ the jet plane?
Okay, yeah, God speaks. 1 Samuel chapter 3. All right. Now we've gone through a lot already talking about, oh, hey, just a little update on this, what I spoke about. You know how Joy Barr, she said about Mike Pence, how because he's a born-again Christian, that he doesn't just talk to Jesus, he hears from Jesus, he must have a mental illness. Just so you know, she didn't do it publicly, or she refused to do it publicly, but she did call Mike Pence and apologize for saying that. And Mike Pence, I guess, graciously accepted her, you know, and so that's kind of a little update for you. But we were talking, what now?
She also resigned.
Did she? Oh, I didn't know about that. But I guess there was a lot of people that called. But anyway, the main premise from last week is that our God speaks. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our God speaks. And again, this isn't to make anyone who isn't used to yet hearing the voice of the Lord or learning to discern his voice in the various forms and ways. It could be, you know, we talked about lots of different ways. It could be audible. It could be through a song. It could be off from his word. But he speaks by the Holy Spirit. To us, to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. And this isn't meant to make anybody feel bad if you haven't heard the Lord from these various ways or whatever. It's to get you excited that God still speaks today, that we serve a relational God, that the creator of the universe says, you know what? It's so weird. I'm sorry, I was gonna say Veronica. Your name tag said Veronica. So I was like, Ronnie, Veronica. That God, the creator of the whole universe, loves you and wants to to have an intimate relationship with you. Amen. That is amazing to me. Or me. Not just you. I'm just saying. Me. You. You. That's our God. That's the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. It's intimate. It's vibrant. It's exciting. Not just speaking to the Lord, but hearing the Lord's voice. Learning to discern that with all, through all the noise. All right, so we talked about a lot of things. So I'm going to skip a lot of this. But John 10:34 says, the sheep, this is Jesus speaking, hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes before them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They can hear it. They've learned to distinguish that voice between all the other voices. The voice is in your own head that's telling you something. You have an enemy that's whispering stuff to you, trying to lead you in a different direction than the way God wants you to go. And then you have God saying, I want you to learn to hear my voice so we can communicate, we can talk. This is exciting stuff. So don't leave condemned if you're not there yet. Be excited that God speaks and he wants to speak to you and to me. Yes, Mark.
It says right there, and he knows our name.
Yes.
He calls us by name individually.
Yes, here, give him the mic. Sorry, yes.
Each one of us is that special to him, yes, that he knows our name.
Yes.
We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. We don't have to try to figure it out. We just have to listen.
Yes. And the Lord knows even the numbers of hairs on our head.
Yes.
Don't do it. Or lack thereof. What did you say? Okay, so here we go. All right, so we're going to skip all this. Okay, so we already went through all this stuff. So I'm just going to scroll through it. You don't see, okay. Yes. Okay, keep going, sorry. Okay, we talked about God speaks all the various ways God speaks. He can speak prophetically. He can speak in a vision, a dream, all through Scripture. We went through, I don't know, about 10 ways, 15 ways, I don't even remember anymore. But it was a lot. You'll have to get the, I was going to say get the CD or listen to it online. Okay, and we left off with here with John 10:47. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I love this little illustration because I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. We filled our minds and our ears with so much other stuff that's distracting us that we're not hearing him. Now, when I stop hearing from the Lord a bit, that's a red flag. That means something's in there. There's a reason. So we're going to go over today 8 things. Oh, you don't see that yet. We're going to go over 8 things in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let me get there for a second. And we're going to go and see 8 things that are going to help us to hear the voice of the Lord better. All right. So let me read it real quickly. Or somebody want to read it real quick? Just chapter 3, verse 1 to 1 to, let's say, 20. Somebody want to read that? If not, don't make me read it. Okay, Shirley Gurley. All right, would you bring the mic up here? You're a good fast reader.
Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then he rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord.
At, go to 21:2.
Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
Okay, great. Super duper. Okay, so here we go. So we start off in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to start off with the first thing that I see, and we're going to see it in verse 1. And depending on your translation, some of your translation says the boy Samuel. You know, we see a lot about him, and we, for those of you who know the deal with Samuel, he ends up becoming a just a total man of God. You can read about him in the book of the rest of First Samuel and Second Samuel. But it says the boy Samuel or the child Samuel, and the first way for us to hear the voice of the Lord better, honestly, is just to be childlike in your faith. Childlike in your faith. Now, that kind of almost might sound stupid to somebody, but you know what? It's not. Now, I'm not talking about childish with your faith, where you're not really paying attention to the word. You don't come here expecting. I hope when you come here that before we get started, you're praying and saying, "God, will you speak to me through the pastor or through anyone else in here, that you would speak your word to me and I would open my ears and listen." I hope you do that every time, because it's really God is the one who's speaking, and he's the one you want to hear from, not me. But he wants to have us to be childlike in our faith. Again, not childish, like we're babies, we don't grow in our faith, we don't mature in our faith, but to be childlike, to have that simple expectancy. You know what I mean? Like our desire to hear the voice of the Lord. Like, I want to hear God speak to me personally. Like, how many of you guys know my littlest son, Ezekiel Truth? Okay, all right, most of you. All right, for those of you who don't, he is an energetic little boy. Okay, I'll just say that. And at our house, it's we work from sun up to sundown, and I don't mean S-U-N, I mean S-O-N, because Ezekiel is the one that gets up in the morning, "Hi, Mom and Dad! Knock, 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 I'm ready for the day! Okay, go back to bed, son." Until his head hits the pillow at night, okay? Now, and he's just got so much energy. And he's like, "Yeah, Dad, hey, Mom, want to do this? Hey, want to play? Hey, I want to be with you all the time." You know, gets that from his mom. Anyway, okay, that might not be true, but it is funny. Okay, so I have another son, Nehemiah, and now if you know him, he's the next one. He's about 10, 11 maybe. Anyway, he used to be that same way. He's a little bit shyer now. He's a little bit calmed down, you know, the middle child now, but he used to be that same way. And he had that he just loved to be with his dad. You know what I mean? He just, you know, whatever his dad said, you know, I'm there. I want to hear from my dad. I want to be around my dad. I want to listen to him. I know he's a man of truth, so when he speaks, I want to receive what he has to say. And Nehemiah would do this thing when he was little too. He was about five, I think, four or five. He would do the cutest little thing. Whenever I'd come in, or he'd be like, "Dad, Dad, Dad." You know, you'd think that there was a fire or something. "Yes, yes, son." You know, if I'd come in the door or I'm leaving, "Wait." He'd say, "Wait." If I was leaving, three things. And he'd say, "One." He goes, "A big hug." You know, and it's like a guy thing. They try to, you know, break a rib. And then two, a big hug. And two, a big kiss. And he'd give me a big hug, kiss. And three, I love you. And have a good day. You know, of course, that's four things. But he was so cute. Who was going to correct the kid? And, you know, but he was just so excited to be around his dad and to hear from his dad and to spend time with his dad. It's that same childlike expectancy and that desire to be with our Lord that opens the channels so that we can hear from our Lord better. It's like, wow, I expect God to speak to me. I know he loves me. My son knows I love him. You have to know that God loves you. You know why? Because he proved it to you on that cross, where he bled and died for your sin. While we were yet sinners, while you were yet in your sin, he died for you. So when you think, when you start to doubt God's love for you, which we can all do, right? Because we think, oh, God really loves Carrie, but I'm not sure he loves me. God really blesses Joel, but I'm not sure about me. Do you know what I'm saying when we're feeling like that? You remember, picture everything God's love with the backdrop of that cross, and you remember how much he loved you. If you were the only person here, he would have said, "Gabby, I love you so much. I'm dying just for you because I love you." That's awesome. So the first thing we want to do if we want to hear that child is to have that childlike faith. Jesus even said something that you can't even get into heaven unless you have that childlike faith. Oh, really, Pastor Darren? Where does it say that? Well, I'm so glad you said that, because I happen to have a slide. Matthew chapter 18, 2-4, he says, he called a little child and he had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. He's telling this to grown men. I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So if you might have tons of knowledge in your head and you might have tons of experience, but unless you just have that childlike trust and belief in the Lord, you know what? You can't even enter. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be humble. I want to have that childlike expectation to hear from our God. And if you don't, I'm asking you right now, Lord, humble me. Do whatever it takes that I can hear your voice clearly. All right, that's one. All right, the other thing is, I don't know if you noticed in our passage, but if you looked who the Lord was not speaking to. Okay, here's this little boy Samuel, right? Serving, right? In church. Who is he not speaking to? Did you notice? The high priest. The big mucky muck, we would say the pastor, the priest. He's not speaking to him. Now, here's the thing that I noticed. And we would say today, you know, it might be the same with us. Like, God may not be speaking to the person with all the religious power, with all the pastor with all the big money or the fancy stuff or all the knowledge. He just speaks to all of us, regardless of how much money we have, prestige we have, power we have, whatever. He speaks to all of us if we'll listen. So God's not speaking to the guy that we would think he would be speaking to, the big priest, the big pastor, the guy with a fantastic following. He's just speaking to simple people like you and me. And that's cool. So if you want to hear the voice of the Lord better, just humble yourself before the Lord and have that childlike expectancy and trust. All right? So that's number one. Okay. Now, the second thing I've noticed, if you look in your Bibles, is also found in verse 1. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before, or some of your translations say, ministered to the Lord under Eli. So the second way to hear the voice of the Lord better is simply minister to or minister before the Lord and not to people. Religious folks in Jesus' day fell on the same track. They were working to please people first. Jesus even warned his disciples when he was teaching them, you know. And here there were tons of priests, there were tons of synagogues, there were tons of religious leaders. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus said, hey, beware of those teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes like in the marketplace. They're like, hey, I'm the pastor. So good to see you, Noah. I'm sure you'd like to shake my hand. Oh, I don't think so. That would make me sort of defiled. Let's just give an air high five, okay? No, yes, thank you. Notice how I'm dressed, my gelled hair, my whitened teeth. That's, okay, obviously I don't have those things. But that's what they would do. They would walk around the marketplaces. Hey, I'm the pastor, I'm the priest, I'm the man. And they love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace with, oh, pastor, oh, rabbi, rabbi. They would love that. Yes. Hey, could you bring yourself the mic? Okay.
Like, if you look in the Bible, like, Jesus, when he came down to earth, he could have easily gone to all the kings and all the really high and powerful people and taught them instead. But instead of that, he went to the lowest of people, you know, to teach them instead, like, he could have easily been a man of authority, but he didn't.
Yes, he could have been a man of prominence and authority. Who did he come to? Lowly shepherds, right? The lowest of the low. I think that's right. So here, they love to be greeted and respected. Marketplace, they have the most important seats in the synagogue. Oh, I'm the pastor, so I'm sure you have a special seat for me. Let me just, kiss the ring. You know, this is how they love this in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets, you know. But then he said, hey, you know, don't be like them. You know, that's not the Lord's way. In fact, he tells us the same thing. Listen, when you're doing the right things, your acts of righteousness, he says this. Oh, I go back one. He says in Matthew 6:1, he says, be careful. I'm telling you this, Christian. He's saying this to me. He's saying, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have a slight reward. What?
No reward.
Oh, Nicholas, you're right. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So if you're doing what you're doing, hey, I'm just here to present a big check to the pastor at Home Fellowship Church and just want to share. We'll have the next wing. We'll be the Betty and Daryl wing of the church. Listen, if you want to give to this church tremendously, we are so happy to have it. We'll do wonderful things with it in his name. But we don't want to do it so that you get recognized by men or at your job or at your workplace or in your family. You do what you do to please the Lord, right? He is the only one. No, I shouldn't say that. He's not the only one. That's not true. He is the main one that you want to please. And from that will flow out to others. Does that make sense? He has to be first. Because if you start doing things to look good in front of people, you're going to become what the Bible calls a hypocrite. That's a Greek word for actor. You will have a mask on where you're just like all this and that, but behind the scenes, you're totally different. That's why when Amy was saying up here, I loved it. You know, let us be the same at home as we are at church. Okay? Amy was telling me, I'm going to tell on her a little bit, but I can do that because I trust her. You know, she said, went up to her, I said, hey, can I just give you a hug and peace? And he's like, oh, where were you with that peace yesterday? I had a terrible day. It was awful. I was with the kids and I was yelling. I said, you know what? I said, well, sinner, being a pastor, I wouldn't understand that. No, I said, you know what? I had a terrible day too. I spent the day, I felt like I was spiritually attacked all day long. So angry, so frustrated. I had to get out of the house. I was just acting like a knucklehead. And I had to come and apologize to the kids later. Sorry, guys, what I was saying was right, but I said it in anger, so I had to gather the whole table, all the kids, apologize, humble myself, right? We should be the same way here as there. So don't do your acts of righteousness before men. There's three people, three audiences you can perform for, guys. You can perform for other people to look good, and a lot of people do in a lot of churches. They perform for other people. They're like this little Christian show pony. Have you seen any of those? Do you know what I'm talking about? God bless you, praise the Lord. How are you doing today? They never have a bad day. Blessed, highly favored, praise the Lord, always doing great. Ding. Come on, your life can't always be that 24/7. You can, as an audience, you can perform for yourself to make yourself look good, right? You can make Joe look good. If you know how to do that, you know how to make Michael look good. Or you can perform and do what you do for the Lord and just trust that he sees you and he's going to reward you. See, that's where the beautiful heart comes in, and that's where the blessing comes in. Amen? Bing. Matthew 5:8 says, I love this scripture, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You want to see God clearly? You want to hear his voice clearly? Have a pure heart before him. Do what you do to please him. Don't try to impress me. I could care. Well, it's not true. I do care. But do what you do for the Lord. Don't try to impress Josh, Amanda Panda, Gary, anybody else in here. You do what you do for Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart. You're going to see God work. I guarantee it. Galatians 1:10 says this. If you're still trying to please men, you got to root that out of you. Because it says this. Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, what does it say? I would not be a servant of Christ. You could be a people pleaser, a man pleaser, or a God pleaser. You choose. You choose. I almost wish I could choose for you sometimes, but I can't. That's Galatians. People are fickle. Somebody's fault. Okay, in case you didn't know what this was from the Cubs. They won the World Series in Chicago. It was from Chicago, and they won the World Series, and so it was a pretty exciting time. Okay, now, they won this one, I think, 2016, right, about a year and a half ago. How many of you guys are Chicago Cubs fans? If you are, raise your hands. Okay. Now, there's two of you. Okay, and the reason why there's not very many, okay, now I want you to know, I was called Chicago, and you know what they said? Everybody is a Chicago Cubs fan now. Everybody. Because look at this, they won the World Series. But you know what? If I can honestly tell you, apart from a few years ago, we had two people raise their hands in here. That would be the same two people. You know what they're called? They were called the lovable losers. Nobody liked the Cubs. People are fickle. When they're winning, everybody's like, oh, the Chicago Cubs, we love them all. Woo, woo, woo. And now 100 years. It took them 100 years to win the World Series. Seriously, or maybe it was 101. Anyway. 100 and what? 108 years. That's a long time. But you know what? The crowds are fickle. Do you remember a guy by the name of Tim Tebow? Yeah. Okay. He used to be with the Denver Broncos. And I don't know if you remember this. He used to do this whole, he's a Christian. He loves the Lord, right? And he does this whole, the T-bow, you know? He used to do that, if you remember that. Anyway, when he was pastoring for the Denver Broncos, right? There was a time where he was doing awesome. He was winning in the last 2 minutes of the game. Everybody loved him. Critics were quiet. People were just praising him all over the place, right? Oh, the next sensation. Look at his drive, blah, 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 blah. Now, you know what he's doing now? He's playing baseball. He's not even in football, because what happened was he started losing a few games. Now, all of a sudden, everybody who was a fan of Tim Tebow, the crowds all loved him, right? Could do no wrong. All of a sudden, he starts losing a little bit. Everybody bails. Now, Tim Tebow's playing baseball. He knows he's still loved by the Lord, and he is still an on-fire, born-again Christian, because he didn't put his faith in what other people thought of him. He put his faith and his trust in what his Lord thought about him. and so should we. People that you think love you, respect you, whatever, you're going to find it. I'm not trying to depress anybody. The reality of it is you're going to go on and they're going to say the knuckleheadiest things. They're going to think knucklehead thoughts. They're going to, listen, don't try to do what you do to please others. It is a guaranteed fail. It'll work for a little while, but then we'll fail. You do what you do for the Lord. If you don't learn to do that, you're going to be miserable. Okay, so here we go. So be childlike in your faith is number one, and then minister to or minister before the Lord is number two. There was a I'll just share this last one. There was a time in the book of Acts, chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas were in a city called Lystra, and there was a guy there who was crippled since birth when they went into the city, and everybody knew him. And so they went up to him, and they laid hands on him, and he was crippled since birth, and God healed him. It was a miracle. It was wonderful. Everybody in the town knew this guy. So they knew they weren't hucksters. They knew this was a real thing. God had come down. God was blessing people. And so what they started to do is they started to say, oh, the gods have come down to us. And so Paul and Barnabas are like, no, it's the God, the King, the Kings, the Lord of Lords. No. And they said, Barnabas is Zeus. And they said, thank you. Paul is Hermes because he's the main speaker. Thank you, Elijah. Show off. in a good way. So they said, oh, and they started sacrificing to them as gods. And they're telling them no. So what Paul does, this was a way to express horror for a religious person. He went in, he ripped his clothes, and he's like tearing it apart. He said, no, please, don't sacrifice to me. He's like, listen, even with those, he said, we're just men like you, sacrifice to a living God, right? And you think they'd be like, oh, thank you for sharing that. Okay, so you serve the living God. You're not that special. And you'd think they would have been all happy and bless them. Look what happens in Acts 14, 18 to 19. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing them. They're trying to be humble, right? Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. And they thanked Paul. And they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. So here's this guy saying, what did they reward him with? They tried to kill him. So listen, make sure you do what you do. Oh, that was embarrassing. Well, make sure you do what you do for the Lord. See, the Lord can always keep me humble. Okay, so here's the third thing. You ready? The third thing that you can do. First one is be childlike in your faith, minister before or minister to the Lord. The third thing is be responsive. Be responsive. And that's super important because, let me see if I can get it. Oh, maybe I wrote it down. Maybe that would be easier. Give me just one second. If you look in verses 4 to 6 with me, when it says verse 4, it says, the Lord called Samuel, here I am, and he ran to Eli. And in verse 6, it says, again, the Lord called him Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. And then Samuel was always responsive whenever he was called. And many times we miss out on what God's saying to us or trying to tell us because we don't respond. Even in your Bible, some of my biggest regrets is when God has called me to do something and I didn't do it. Those are my biggest regrets. He's called me to say something, to read something, to pray something, and I didn't do it. Go somewhere, do something, and I didn't do it. In verse 5, it says, Samuel responded and ran to Eli when he calls. In verse 6, he responded and got up and went. In verse 8, it says the same thing. After the third time, he still got up and went. In verse 10, it says he responded, speak, your servant is listening. Every time Samuel was called, he responded. Now, when God speaks to your heart to something, do you respond? If he's showing you something right here, right now, are you responding? How about in your devotional time? Or if you heard a teacher on the radio, are you responding to what he's saying? See, if you don't respond when God is speaking to you, and you keep arguing with him, do you have kids? You have to argue with you all the time? Oh, it's enough, right? Are you arguing with God? Or if you're being lazy, right, with God, you know what I'm saying, right? I'll just respond later. What do you think is going to happen? pain, maybe stop talking. Think of you, if you guys have a job, anybody, I worked as a waiter for a while. And so, you know, if they told me, hey, Darren, this is early on. He said, Darren, would you go get table 5? Okay. And I said to him, okay, yeah, I'll get that in about an hour. Because right now I'm folding some silverware. Do you think that owner is going to be happy with me? Or what if he says, okay, Darren, you're scheduled for, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the dinner shift. And I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to do it half the time. I'm going to obey, right? I'm just going to show up Monday, Tuesday. I'll show up Monday, won't show up Tuesday. I'll show up Wednesday. Thursday, I got a thing. I'm just not going to do it. And Friday, so I'm only showing up half the time. What do you think is eventually going to happen to me? I'll get fired. I won't have to show up at all. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who are bosses or have managed anybody, what would you do to that person who only obeyed you part of the time, right? Or maybe just did it whenever they felt like it. Maybe you'd stop asking that person to do something, right? Maybe they'd ask somebody else to do it instead, right? I've had that happen to me. The Lord gave me told me to go to, I'm trying to think, who was that? It was a long time ago. Anyway, he told me to go to this is like a demonic guy's concert. Maybe it was Marilyn Manson or Alice Cooper, one of those two. It was up in Tampa they were playing, and he told me to go up there. And I said, oh, Lord, you don't understand. This is, they're going to beat me within an inch of my life. And God, you don't want me to be beat because I'm precious. I'm a precious child of the Lord. And so I argued with God, right? He's like, no, I want you to go up there and hand out tracts. And I said, Lord, this must not be you. Right? Must not be you. So anyway, I put it off. And then I got a call from a kid I was discipling. I was a kid myself, but in my 20s. This younger guy who I was discipling, right? And he came to me and he said, so I didn't do it, right? And so the concert happened, right? And so my friend in Sarasota, all right, came to me and he said, you're not going to believe what happened. And I said, what? It's like Friday night. He's like, Friday night was about the time where I said, Lord, it just can't be you. You know, you wouldn't want to put me in harm's way. Of course, he did that to all the disciples, but whatever. And so I didn't listen. I didn't obey. And you know what he did? God called someone else. In fact, just to teach me a lesson, he called the person I was discipling. He said, you're not going to believe this. He worked at the airport. He's like, all of a sudden, I felt like God was totally speaking to me out of nowhere to go up to that concert. And you're not going to believe it, to hand out tracts. And of course, I'm like, I said, oh, really? He's like, yeah. I said, did you go up with a big group or anything? He's like, no, he just told me to go up there. Just told me to go. And I obeyed him. That's great. That's great. So what happened? He's like, it was the most unbelievable experience of my lifetime. I was handing out these tracts, and God was protecting me, and people, some of them were actually taking them and reading them, and God was doing this. And he told me about this amazing thing that God did, kept him safe. Now, I don't think God was trying to do that to go, loser. But he was doing that to show me, when I speak, you need to obey, because who missed out on the blessing? Now I still get to use it. God's wonderful. I use it as an illustration, but of my failure, right? And so he has this whole story of how God moved. It was the most amazing experience of his life. And I'm thinking to myself, I am such a loser. But God is really wonderful. So if you want to be close to the Lord, be responsive whenever he speaks something to you. Obey him right away. Don't put it off. Yes, Elijah.
Even though the child is a child of God, sometimes he can mess up and sometimes be a Jonah.
Yes, yes, that is exactly right.
Sometimes our fear or emotions get in the way. Yes. Your mood gets in the way. Any of those three things get in the way. It can affect your relationship with God and what he wants you to do.
Yes, but by faith, we need to all do that. Yes, Gary.
Also, if you repent after that event, you will give us a second chance.
You know what? Yes, he might. I'll be honest with you. I just want to be honest. God is really faithful. He might. He's done that many times with me, but there are other times he's never called me to go to a Marilyn Manson concert ever again. Now, he's called me other places. But yes, I agree. If we repent, right, he will give us other chances. Agreed. So, okay, here we go. Fourth thing. Okay, so be childlike in your faith, minister before the Lord and not men. Be responsive if you want to hear the voice of the Lord better. And be listening. Listen for the Lord. I love this scripture verse, and it's in Proverbs chapter 8, 34. And it says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily. That means every day, expectantly, right? At my door. What do you think that means?
Ready to go.
What?
Ready to go.
Ready to go? What? With wisdom. What? I think he's waiting at my door. It's like, have you ever wanted to go somewhere really bad and you don't have the ride and the person's with you? It's like, come on, can we go? My kids will do that. Are we ready? Is it time? Is it church time yet? Can we go? I mean, the kids are waiting at my door. That's how he wants us to be, waiting at the door. Lord, I want you to speak to me, to teach me. Waiting at my doors, waiting at my doorway. That's expectant. Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5 says, the sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen. When you get up in the morning, first thing, Lord, what would you like me to do today? Maybe it's to read his word. Maybe it's to go do something else. Maybe it's to pray. Maybe it's, what would you want me to do today? Like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears and I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. He will open your ears if you will but listen to him. And I love those scriptures because they're so very, very powerful. You know, my wife and I have to, believe it or not, we have like 8 people in our home and dogs. And so between the phone, text, dogs, kids, we have to actually leave our home sometimes to communicate. You know what I'm saying? Like we communicate, but like, hey, do this, you do this. Okay, you get the kids there. I get the. We don't really communicate. We're just like, you know, getting things done. So we actually have to have a date night where we get out of the house where we can actually talk to one another and to communicate with one another and spend time with one another so we can listen to one another. Otherwise, there's so much going on. Sometimes we have to do that with God. You have to get away. You have to go somewhere, put the phone down.
Put it all down.
Shut the computer. Whatever you need to do for you. Yes?
We would go, our date night was a cup of coffee and a piece of pie. And we'd split it and we'd talk about everything that went on during the week or what we needed to. Yes. It's a good way of doing it.
It is. And that intimacy that's built there, it's the same with the Lord. As you're talking and listening, that builds the intimacy. All right, the fifth way to hear the voice of the Lord better is also found in verse 15. Hey, I'm going to give you this for homework just real quickly. And when it talks to listening, I was going to read it, but I feel like the Lord doesn't want me to. Psalm 81, that's your homework. I want you to read Psalm 81 when you get home because it's going to talk to you about it, God is saying, I want you to look what I would do to for my people if they would just listen to me, if they would just open up their ears. You know, I had a slide here I was going to go through here somewhere along Psalm 81, 8 to 16, but that's your homework. I want you to go and read that and see what would happen if the people would have just stopped what they were doing and started listening to the voice of the Lord. But he wants us to listen and be responsive to him. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so you got to listen and be responsive. I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. He's actually speaking that to a church. So he wants us to listen, to be listening. The next thing is found in verse 15. It says, Samuel laid down and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. So after God spoke to him, what do you find Samuel doing? Now, if he could have been like, I heard from the Lord, you didn't. Eli knew he was doing wrong. His sons were wicked. They would steal from people. That would be like you bringing in your tithes and you having a 50 and you're going to put it in the tithe box. And Gary comes to you, him, he puts Mark Manley, gathers Joe, and he says, hey, is that your tithe? Well, we're going to take part of that for ourselves. We're taking that 50 and you can put in the 50 bucks for the Lord next week. That's what his sons were doing. They were getting drunk in the house of the Lord, bringing women in. They were doing terrible stuff like that. Can you imagine that? And Eli didn't stop them. So Samuel could have been like, oh yeah, let me tell you, Eli, something. God spoke to me, and let me tell you this. Right? Could have told his sons, but he didn't do that. He was humble about it. He was just serving the Lord. He went, opened the doors. He was doing what he normally did. So if you want to hear from the Lord, just be a servant. Just serve the Lord. Do what he's called you to do. Was he afraid of his sons? He was afraid to tell Eli, but we'll get to that in a minute. More because it was crushing for Eli. More because of his compassion and his love. But even if he was, when he got that information from the king of the universe, oh, let me tell you, I would have been okay with going and telling him. But he didn't do that. He just served. And that's another way that we can just hear from the Lord. Be a servant. Be humble. In Luke 22:27, Jesus said, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But, he said, but I am among you as one who serves. So you should do the same. I should do the same. John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. If you just serve him and do the menial stuff, the loaner library, no big shebang. Children's ministry, no big shebang. The cleanup ministry, Isabel and Nick, she's somewhere in here. Maybe she's with the kids today. They're cleaning up. Just cleaning. They're just serving. Nobody's like, woo! No big parties. They're not up here. But yet, God is pleased with that. And when you humble yourself, he'll teach you. It says in Psalm 25:9, he leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way. He'll speak to you. He'll teach you. If you'll just humble yourself and serve. Well, I only serve doing this. Well, I'll only serve if there's this many people. Well, I'll only serve in this way. No, sir. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he might lift you up in due time. That's what the scripture says. So humble yourself. The sixth way to hear the voice of the Lord better is to be compassionate and loving. It's in that same verse. It says, verse 15, it says, he was afraid to tell Eli. Be compassionate and loving. I won't spend too much time. Again, he knew that Eli wasn't right. You can read about that. He knew his kids were wicked. You can read about that in Samuel chapter 2. But everything we do, he didn't want to tell Eli because he didn't want to hurt his heart. Everything that we do should be done in love. The fruit of God's Holy Spirit working in your life is love. And that manifests itself with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That fruit of the Spirit has to be a part of everything we do, even if it's a correction or a rebuke. So if you want to hear the voice of the Lord better, be loving in what you do. I remember one time God told me to rebuke somebody, gave me a message for them it was for a pastor. He gave me a message for them. And the message was that this pastor treated people from the, he treated people badly. I'll just say that, okay? People would be in tears all the time. They'd be calling people names. I can't even tell you the names he called them behind their backs and stuff. And so he gave me a message to say if he didn't stop, that even what he has would be taken from him. And so I thought, yeah! I did. I really did. I'm just being honest. I thought, now I'm going to bring the message of the Lord. Ka-chow! And so for 3 days, I tried to get with this guy to bring him this message, this jerky guy. And I was going to give him a knockout right in the, from the Lord, thus. And you know what? 3 days, the Lord humbled me and crushed me. I couldn't get to him. And it was a really good thing he did, because I had the wrong heart. I had an unloving heart. And it was a really good thing, because right when I went in, I remember sitting down, I said, hey, you know what? The Lord has given me a word for you. And immediately he started mocking me. Oh, God's speaking to you? God's, and he just started mocking and trashing me right there. Now, had that not been, you know, I would have said, thus says God. You know what I mean? I would have been, fire, Lord, you want to consume them with fire? But I said, I was really just humble about it. Hey, man, you pray about it. I'm just going to tell you, this is what God spoke to you. And this was the, and many years later, that did happen. And so he didn't repent, or at least not for very long. So anyway, everything that we do needs to be done in love. You guys know these Bible verses because we went over them last week, so I won't. But if you can speak in tongues or have the gift of prophecy or can fathom, you have all knowledge of the Bible, you give everything away, but you don't have love, the Bible says you are nothing. It's got to be overarching everything you do. So number seven. Number seven is hear the voice of the Lord better is found in verse 18. It says, so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what's good in his eyes. I think it was almost like passive resignation. I screwed up. I'm not going to repent. Whatever. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he just faithfully, even though he was scared to tell Eli, Debbie, he still did. Because he did what he did to please the Lord. So simply just being faithful and obedient helps us to hear the Lord better. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. 14:21 says this, and it puts it even a little bit better. It says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and reveal myself to him. You see, if you really love the Lord, you're going to obey the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John, anyone who says they know him but don't obey him, they're a liar and the truth isn't in him. Zoinks. But if anybody obeys, has my commands, and obeys them, I'm going to reveal myself to you. That's cool. That means if you're going to obey him, just take him at his word, he's going to supernaturally reveal himself. I love that. And don't say, hey, I'm scared, I'm this and that. Jeremiah 1:6-7 says, oh, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord says to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. So don't use the excuse, I don't have enough Bible knowledge, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that, I can't, I'm a shy person. Whatever, say whatever I tell you to do, say, do whatever I tell you to do. And then verse 8 says, do not be afraid of them, I'm with you, and I'll rescue you, declares the Lord. That's his promise to you. You know, don't be like in Jeremiah 6:10, God said, whom can I speak and give a warning to? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear, and the word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. Is the word of the Lord offensive to you? Do you find no pleasure in it? This is exciting. God's like trying to reveal himself to you. This should be a wonderful thing. If you don't find pleasure, ask him to help you to do that. There's a reason for that. And then the last thing is in the last little part of that, at the end of 1 Samuel. But it says, at the very end there, it says, verse 21, the very last verse. Let me see if I got it right here. I can read it. It says this, my old eyes. Oh, sorry. Mature eyes. Thank you. My pleasure. See, I listen to what you say. It says, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So listen, another way to hear the voice of the Lord better is simply to be a man or woman of the word. That means that you're hiding God's word in your heart, that you won't sin against them. Not that you're just gaining knowledge. How many of you guys know Bible fatheads? They're snotty, they're... No, you make it a part of who you are, part of your being. The Bible says this, and you probably can't read this, but it's in Deuteronomy 32, verses 45 to 47. It says, when Moses finished reciting all the words to Israel, he said to them, I want you to take heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you can command your children to obey carefully the words of the law that I'm giving you. And then in verse 47 of Deuteronomy 32, he says, they're not just idle words for you. They are your life. God doesn't want you just revving up the engine and being idle. He wants you to take his word and go places with it. In your marriage, at your work, at your school, with your family. He wants to become a part of who you are. And then finally he says this in Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses in my word. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. You get to choose it. And that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, or hold fast to his commands. That's what he wants to do. And if you will be a man or woman of the word, if you will learn to hear his voice, right, and hold fast to his commands, make them a part of your life, God will do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever even ask for or imagine. And that's the truth in Jesus' name. All right, is there any closing comments? Does anybody have anything that they would like to say before we close out today in prayer? I want to give you an opportunity. Sue, I am looking at you. Do you have anything you want to say? Yep. Okay. All right. Anybody have anything they want to say? We close out. Okay. All right, Father, we just want to say thank you for your word, Lord, and we know that it doesn't return void, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would help us to be all those things, Lord God, that you'd help us to be childlike in our faith and to minister to you and not before men. You'd help us to be responsive. You'd help us to listen, Lord God. You'd help us to be just humble and a servant and compassionate and loving, and help us to be a man or woman of your word, Lord. And we would just be open to whatever your Holy Spirit has to say to us, because it becomes our own when you speak to us, Lord. So give us those expectant, childlike expectancy, Lord God, and that faith and trust, Lord, that you're going to speak to us and we're going to hear your voice, Lord. And then help us to have the strength to obey, regardless of what it is, Lord God. And that every person in here, Lord God, whether they move to Timbuktu or stay here for however long, Lord, that they would be men and women of the word. We bless you. We love you, and we pray your blessing on this congregation, that we would learn to hear your voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Pray for us.